भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, second chapter, text number 22.
Yadi prayasyan nripaparameshtyam vaiha yasanam mutayat viharam. अष्टाधिपत्यं गुणसन्निवाये सहैव गच्छेन्मनसेन्द्रियैश्च यदि प्रयास्यन् नृपपारमेष्ठ्यम् वैहायसानामुतयद्विहारम् अष्टाधिपत्यं गुणसन्निवाये सहैव गच्छेन्मनसेन्द्रियैश्च यदि प्रयासं नृपपारमेष्ठ्यम् वैहायसानामुतयद्विहारम् अष्टाधिपत्यं गुणसन्निवाये सहैव गच्छेन्मनसेन्द्रियैश्च। పరమేశ్వరం
this. అధిపత్యం గుణ సన్నివాయే యది హౌఎవర్ ప్రయాసన్ మెయింటైనింగ్ ఎ డిజైర్ నృప ఓ కింగ్ పారమేష్ఠ్యం ద గవర్నింగ్ ప్లానెట్ ఆఫ్ ద మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ Vaihayasanam, of the beings known as the Vaihayasas. Uta, it is said, yet what is Viharam, place of enjoyment, Ashta Adhipatyam, lording it over with eightfold achievements. Gunasannivaye, the world of three modes of nature, Saha, along with Eva, certainly, Gachet, should go, Manasa, accompanied by the mind, Indriyaihi, and the senses, Cha, also. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాద్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్కి. హౌఎవర్ ఓ కింగ్, ఇఫ్ అ యోగి మెయింటైన్స్ అ డిజైర్ ఫర్ ఇంప్రూవ్డ్ మెటీరియల్ ఎంజాయ్మెంట్స్ లైక్ ట్రాన్స్ఫరెన్స్ టు ద టాప్ మోస్ట్ ప్లానెట్ బ్రహ్మలోక ఆర్ ద అచీవ్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ ద ఎయిట్ ఫోల్డ్ పర్ఫెక్షన్స్ ట్రావెల్ ఇన్ అవుటర్ స్పేస్ విత్ ద వైహాయసస్ ఆర్ అ సిచ్యువేషన్ ఇన్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ద మిలియన్స్ ఆఫ్ ప్లానెట్స్ then he has to take away with him the materially molded mind and senses. Purport: in the upper status of the planetary systems, there are facilities thousands and thousands of times greater for material enjoyments than in the lower planetary systems. The topmost planetary systems consist of planets like Brahmaloka and Dhruvaloka, the pole star, and all of them are situated beyond Maharloka. The inhabitants of those planets are empowered with eightfold achievements of mystic perfection. They do not have to learn and practice the mystic processes of yoga perfection and achieve the power of becoming small like a particle, anima siddhi, or lighter than a soft feather, lagima siddhi. They do not have to get anything and everything from anywhere and everywhere, Prapti Siddhi, to become heavier than the heaviest, Mahima Siddhi, to act freely, even to create something wonderful, or to annihilate anything at will, Ishitva Siddhi, to control all material elements, Vashitva Siddhi. To possess such power as will never be frustrated in any desire, Prakamya Siddhi, or to assume any shape or form one may even whimsically desire, Kama Vashaita Siddhi. All these expediencies are as common as natural gifts for the inhabitants of those higher planets. they do not require any mechanical help to travel in outer space, and they can move and travel at will from one planet to any other planet within no time. The inhabitants of the Earth cannot move even to the nearest planet except by mechanical vehicles like spacecraft. But the highly talented inhabitants of such high planets can do everything very easily. Since a materialist is generally inquisitive to experience what is actually in such planetary systems, he wants to see everything personally. As inquisitive persons tour all over the world to gain direct local experience, the less intelligent transcendentalist similarly desires to have some experience of those planets about which he has heard so many wonderful things. The yogi can, however, easily fulfill his desires by going there with the present materialistic mind and senses. The prime inclination of the materialistic mind is to lord it over the material world. And all the siddhis mentioned above are features of domination over the world. The devotees of the Lord are not ambitious to dominate a false and temporary phenomenon. On the contrary, a devotee wants to be dominated by the supreme denominator, the Lord. A desire to serve the Lord, a supreme denominator, is spiritual or transcendental. And one has to attain this purification of mind and the senses to get admission into the spiritual kingdom. With a materialistic mind, one can reach the best planet in the universe, but no one can enter into the kingdom of God. Senses are called spiritually purified when they are not involved in sense gratification. Senses require engagements, and when the senses are engaged totally in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, they have no chance to become contaminated by material infections.
Om Ajnanatimirandasya Gnananjanashalakaya Chakshuhuvanmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Karamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruh Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Namavom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
So in text number 21, there's a description about yogi dying with no material desires. And text number 22 that we are reading today is a yogi dying with material desires. Is being discussed here. As the other day we were talking about the Satchakra system, a yogi will not leave his body at will if he feels that he still has material desires. Especially a yogi who wants to go to Vaikuntha. He is supposed to analyze his own heart and see that if he finds that still there are allurements lingering in his mind, then he will wait and perform austerities and penances for some more period of time till he gets purified. And then when a yogi is purified, he accepts the samadhi on his own and then he quits his body. So here it is explained how a yogi can be attracted to the higher planetary systems, as Prabhupada explains here. Their facility is thousands and thousands of times greater. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes about it. He says, Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham Prabhadanti Avipaschitah. The word Avipaschit means unintelligent. Unintelligent people are attracted to the flowery descriptions given about the heavenly planets, and they aim at heavenly planets. And they don't want anything else. That is their ultimate goal, and they are ready to perform yajna after yajna to attain. Sometimes one of them may even become Indra also. Or if not Indra, at least the demigods in the heaven. So once one Pragosh Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple, had come to Bombay. So I happened to be in his association. So he was asking, how many of you are attracted to go to heavenly planets? Nobody raised hand. And he said, you know, when we read in the scriptures like this, Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham, you may say that I am not attracted to the flowery words about the Nandarandana gardens and drinking somaras and sitting in the palace of Indra and all that. So he was telling, we may say that we don't have any attraction. Actually, heavenly planets means, he said, long duration of life and high standards of enjoyment. He said, that is heavenly planet. High standards of enjoyment. Fine enjoyments. And he said, long duration of life. That is it. So he said, how many of you become distracted by the billboards you see in Bombay? He was asking. Then everyone raised hand. He said, that means you are attracted to heavenly planet. He said. So he said, when you are going in the road, sometimes you see advertisements for some new colony coming up for those people who have already achieved the high level in society. They put a photograph of the drawing room with sofa sets and TV and everything. Some young man, young woman sitting there. Sometimes nowadays they put children also now for a change. Otherwise every time you put man, woman, people get bored. So now they put mother and child or father and child and everything. But basically they want to show that there are very wonderful standards of enjoyment. Nowadays one additional thing you will find is the green villa. You know, there is a mountain behind and there is, you know, there are waterfalls and there is lake behind. Have the luxury of living in the Kadakwasla, so they advertise, and you can have your own villa, your own compound, you can have a swimming pool, you know, on your terrace, everything. So when people see such houses, immediately the living entity becomes attracted. Oh, how wonderful. I can be a king of this house. I can live. I will live in this house. I will get my queen and I will get my citizens, everyone. I will have servants and I will have facilities and I will enjoy. So there is a desire to enjoy fine standard of life. Especially in youth. Sometimes you see there is advertisement for a car. They put a car, fine car, some new model car. Some people see the car advertisement and become attracted. So the living entity becomes mad in such fine enjoyments, fine material enjoyments, finer. Of course, when we talk of fine material enjoyment, there are truly fine enjoyments which even if we speak, many will not understand. For example, Indra, in Indra Loka is sitting and hearing the Apsaras playing Veena, very nicely singing Carnatic music, And he's doing tala and he's hearing. That is fine enjoyment. That is actually fine. Of course, our modern mind and senses are so gross that fine enjoyments don't look very appealing. Isn't it? Yeah. There is enjoyment even in that also. In Sargama Padanisa and combination of those letters and combination of ragas. Similarly, Bharatanatyam, the dance. These are all fine enjoyments. Generally, in the Vedic life, even if somebody is to be married, they will check whether the girl has any such talent, whether she can play veena, or whether she can do Bharatanatyam, whether she can sing. Such kind of things they will see. Why? As I told you once before, when they get very old, still even husband and wife, they will be sitting and hearing some Carnatic music. They can have similar taste. So, when we see these billboards and other things, we become attracted to such kind of things, which is actually a proof that we have material desires, similar to the one explained in that verse, Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham Prabhadanti Avipaschitaha. Unintelligent people become attracted to the material enjoyments of this world, it says. Vedavadarta Parthananida Stiti Vadinaha Kamatmana Swargapara Janma Karma Falapradam Kriya Vishesha Bahulam Bhoga Aishwarya Gatim Prati. He's saying Bhoga and Aishwarya Gati is their goal. That is the Gati they want to attain. Bhoga and Aishwarya. Bhoga means sense enjoyment. Aishwarya means opulence. Bhoga is actually, to put it very precisely, Bhoga is sex life. And Aishwarya is opulent things. Like you go to someone's house, huge gate. You open the gate, they have a big garden. Big bungalow. You go inside the garden and go to the house, you find all marble, everything made up of marble and very costly vehicles. There are 5 Rolls Royce cars standing. You go inside, huge table and huge furnitures and gold plated, silver plated. Wash basin, you find the taps are gold plated or silver plated. And you find. So this is opulence. Grandeur. One becomes fascinated by it. How nice it will be if I can live life king size. So one gets it is here. So there is a fascination in the mind of the living being. Fascination. One becomes fascinated or impressed with attraction for such material things. And also long duration of life, he says. Actually one wants to prolong one's life. Jivitasha it is called. Jivitasha. Jivitasha means wanting to live longer. Otherwise, why people have tubes in the nose, tubes in the mouth, and they are breathing and surviving? Because they have a desire to live longer. Even though a person may be bedridden, and any time he may die, if you take off the tubes. But still he wants to live. The desire to live is there. And if a doctor can extend our life, even 1 or 2 or 3 years, people are happy. They are ready to spend a fortune to extend their life. So when one comes to know, in heaven you can live longer. Not just 1 or 2 years. Thousands and thousands of years you can live longer. Then one becomes attracted. Why people go for treatments in America if they can spend? This is one of the reasons. Like for example, bypass surgery and all these things in India at one time were never done. If a person's heart is not properly functioning, he may just leave the body. That's all. You get a replacement body next life. Another body. Yeah. You don't have to replace your heart and then continue with threat that anytime anything can happen. Yeah. But once many other this kind of operations were performed, then people started going to the West and spending big money. Now it has come to India also now. People want to prolong living. If you can change the leg, if you can change the hand, if you can change the heart, if you can change the liver, if you can change the, if possible, of course till now they haven't done brain, if possible change the brain also. The brain is actually the root, which supplies all these things to the body. But they are trying to find out what all can be replaced in the body so that a person's life can be prolonged more and more. So the desire to prolong life by doing transplant is also a desire to go to heaven. That is also a desire to go to heaven, to prolong our life. We have a desire to live longer. go on living in the material world with material facilities. One always feels, my material plants, you know, I haven't given them shape. I still have many things to do. Like the Kailash story, we say, one thinks, I need more time to complete all my desires. Then one goes on like that. So, we could easily understand when he said this. Yes. These are material desires. So, a yogi, one may think, is a spiritualist, that he is going to forest and he is performing severe penances and everything. Prabhupada explains here, that although he is doing such severe penances, he is not free from material desire. Yogi, all these siddhis which he has given, anima, lagima, mahima, prapti, shita, vashita, and all that. Different siddhis. Either he gets these siddhis here and starts practicing them, or yogi may also, Prabhupada says, desire to go to the siddha loka. Or he may want to go to some higher planet. See, here Prabhupada says, since a materialist is generally inquisitive to experience what is actually in such planetary systems, he wants to see everything, experience what is actually in such planetary systems. He wants to experience everything personally. An inquisitive person tours all over the world to gain direct local experience. The less intelligent transcendent similarly desires to have some experience of those planets about which he has heard so many wonderful things. Just like even in the Martyaloka where we are living, if you read the fifth canto, there is a description about Jambudvipa. There are different dvipas and different directions, east, west, north, everything is explained. So those who go to heaven, they are not directly brought to earth. They come to a place which is semi-heaven, and then they come to earth. Even those descriptions of semi-heavens are so attractive. He talks about a huge mango fruit, huge trees, tall trees. And when the huge mango fruit falls, ripe fruit, it starts flowing, Arunoda. Arunoda is actually a mango river, which is viscous, semi-solid mango pulp, amrarasa. River is flowing. Imagine if somebody goes to bathe in it, they will never come out. So, and then when that is flowing, because the sunlight is falling on it, the ground becomes completely frozen. And when it becomes frozen, it becomes gold biscuits. So demigods come and cut it and take it, and they take the gold. They make many ornaments to use in their bodies. Yeah, it's explained like that. Yeah, there are also other fruits, jambu tree, jambu nadi. It is said when the jambu nadi is flowing, there are many residents of that place, the ladies who come there to take a bath. So when they take those waters in their mouth and gargle or something, and then they come, the fragrance comes practically 80 miles or so distance. So it is explained like that, how, what is the standard of their enjoyment. And in this way, after giving all the descriptions, it says that even though they have all these facilities, even in the midst of living with these facilities, those residents, they aspire to be born on earth. They are saying, why they want to be born on earth? Because they feel that in Bharatvarsha the lifespan is very short here. Very quickly one can perfect life and go back to Godhead. So one amazing thing is, even with all these facilities, they remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is said there. But here, even with so much misery, we don't remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So difficult. So when one hears these descriptions of these planets, or even higher planets about Indra Loka, Surendra Lokam, as Krishna says, what that was, Trividyama, Somapa, Puttapapa, Yajna Rishwa, Swargatim Prathayanti, Te Punyam Asadhya Surendra Lokam. So the Indra Loka is described in Bhagavad Gita and other Puranas, about how Indra lives. So when one hears these descriptions, one is curious to go. Like here Prabhupada is saying, you might see people in India want to go for a European tour or American tour. So like people living in America, you know, they see advertisement, you know, visit Bermuda. Visit Bermuda, and in Bermuda if you go, you will see this, see that advertisements are put. If you go to Bermuda, they say visit New York. They put a board. Similarly, if you are in India, people say visit America. Hmm. And what is the fascination in America? You can see, you know, actually Indians have a great dream about America, about the beauty of America and everything. But when you go to America, there you find advertisements of how there is a tour to India. You can meet the Indian yogis, Indian babas. You can visit the holy places in India and the holy temples in India. And you can see the culture of India, the dramas and the Bharatanatyam and music. And you can see the Gurukulas of India. So in America they advertise. They bring people to tour in India. Sometimes you find hundreds of Americans coming for a tour to India. So people in one region, they want to go to another region and see. Why? Because the living entity has a fascination to go to new places, to meet new people, to do new things. Something, that, because the living entity thinks, maybe I will get something new there, which I am not getting here. That arises actually from dissatisfaction. Wanting to go to some new place, see some new thing, experience something new. That is a great eagerness. So, this tendency is there. Once I heard the Yatra committee had a great difficulty deciding how the Yatra should be. Once when I was sitting with His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he was telling, I was appreciating the Yatra that, you know, all day we go around and then evening we have lecture. So that's such a wonderful thing. You can peacefully sit and hear. And he was telling, we have somehow arrived at this kind of schedule now. He said, different people have different ideas of what is perfect Yatra. He was telling. He said, some devotees say, every time they go, they want to visit new places. Even if you have to travel 22 hours by bus, and the road is very bad, there are so many bumps and ups and downs and so many stones on the road, people don't mind. Somehow you want to go and see a new place. Like we used to go to that Yaka Chakra. People are ready. They want to see some new place every time. And Maharaj said, those people are bent upon going for a new place at any cost. And Maharaj said, I asked them about lecture. What about lecture? Maharaj, don't worry about lecture. We want to see the place. They're very eager to see the places. And there are others who say, what are we going to see anywhere? After all, it's all the same world. Everywhere you find trees, everywhere you find ground. Everywhere you see crows and dogs and animals. Just sit in one place. Just keep on giving us katha. You just hear katha. All day there should be katha. There are some people. What is the need of all these other things? If you say we are going for boating, what is the need of boating? Just sit in one place and hear katha. So, this is another category. Living entities have different natures. But commonly it is seen, those who have desires, not only places, they also want to, like people want to see different movies. People want to go to new places. And they want to have new friends. Like they have these pen pals, you know. In magazines you find these pen pals. Pen pals is, certain magazines publish photographs of people along with the name and their hobbies and background. Then you write a mail and you develop some friendship. People do that, why? Because they want to be introduced to new people. Of course in ISKCON, you don't have to go searching, you will easily get. People, so many become devotees and there is not enough time to reciprocate with devotees. There are so many devotees here. But the point is, people have a desire to develop new friendships, go to new places, eat new things, have different type of comforts and facilities, see different cultures, different. So this kind of type of desire is there, as Prabhupada is saying here. See? An inquisitive person tours all over the world to gain direct local experience. Similarly, the less intelligent transcendentalist similarly desires to have some experience of those planets about which he has heard so many wonderful things. So, Siddha who is practicing here, yogi, he wants to go to Siddha Loka. He wonders, everywhere there will be Siddhas. And I can have Siddhi all day. All these Siddhis are like we eat prasad, or we lie down, or we drink water. Like that you can use Siddhis in Siddha Loka. It's naturally present in the bodies of Siddha Loka Vasis. Yeah. They can fly in the sky. They can do all these activities. Different things are mentioned. So one becomes very eager for that. This is also a subtle material desire. There are gross material desires. Then there are subtle material desires more and more. one wants to enjoy. Now, what is Bhagavad philosophy? According to Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad says, he says, he was telling his friends, Sukham Maindrikam Daitya Deha Yoge Na Dehinam Sarvatra Labhyate Daivat Yatha Dukkam Ayatnataha. He is telling, my dear friends, what is the use of going here, going there, doing this, doing that, trying for different standards of enjoyment? It's all simply old wine in a new bottle. Prahlad is saying, it's old wine in a new bottle. Punaha punaha charvita charvanana. It's simply chewing the chewed. You have been eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Either you do it here or do it in the moon or do it in some other planet. Huh? Do it in some same activities again and again. Huh? So, how wonderful it is that a pure devotee, he gets fed up with material desires. He gets fed up with material enjoyments. Actually, it is very, very, very difficult, very rare for a living entity who is wandering in this world to become fed up with material enjoyment. It's very rare. It's very difficult. Actually, the word material enjoyment itself is bewildering. Why? It is actually material suffering. But the living entity calls it enjoyment. And that is called as illusion. To call suffering as enjoyment is illusion. And to consider enjoyment to be a burden is also illusion. To consider the real enjoyment to be burdensome is also illusion. And to consider the terrible suffering of this material world to be enjoyment is a grand illusion. So, the living entity, birth after birth after birth, seeks the same type of pleasures. So if one has come to a halt after wandering in this world, and he says, now, enough is enough now. There is a song which we used to sing in our school days. That song says, you search for happiness everywhere in the world. Go in all directions, north, east, west, south, all four directions. Where he says that I was searching for happiness in different places. And then he says, I tried in this, I tried in that. In childhood, I tried in this. In youth, I tried in, you know. He says that in childhood, I was trying for happiness in toys and playing games. And in my youth, I was trying to get joy in the company of women, beautiful women, he says. And then in adolescence, I tried getting joy in making more money, he says. And then he says, when I got old, I tried getting joy in traveling to different places, meeting different people, visiting different places, everything. He says that after doing everything, I got fed up with life. He says, ultimately now, I am finding my ultimate joy in the lotus feet of the Lord. He's concluding the song like that. So, actually, every living entity is doing the same thing, birth after birth. You take a bird in the tree, what he does in the morning, he gets up in the morning, and he has to go and all day wander here and there and get the food and come. And then feed the food, and then pass stool, and then sleep, take bath, and then again go next day, same business. And in a human body or animal body, bird's body, one has to observe. One has to observe. Actually, a devotee, by observing the world, learns many, many lessons. Just like you find the Avadhuta learning from the 24 gurus. He's learning so many lessons. Like, you know, a conditioned soul is very narrow-minded. But a Mahatma is very broad-minded. In what sense? In many, many respects. In one particular way of understanding this statement is, say, for example, your conditioned soul thinks, oh, I am a man and she is a woman, I am attracted to her. This is very narrow-minded. And then he lives in this small world of romance. Or if it's a woman, she thinks, oh, you know, I love that boy, he loves me. It's a small world. And these two people come together and they forget the whole outside world. They are living in a very small world. But what is a bigger world? If you observe, you look at a cockroach, a male cockroach looking at a she cockroach and becoming attracted. The she cockroach is looking at the male cockroach and infatuated by his mustache. Yeah, you find, my Lord. And then what do? You take a broomstick and beat him up and throw him out. And all his masculine display is gone. Isn't it? So, same. You say a male donkey, ఫీమేల్ డాంకీ అట్రాక్షన్, ఏ మేల్ డాగ్ అండ్ ఫీమేల్ డాగ్ అట్రాక్షన్, ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ స్పీషీస్ దిస్ అట్రాక్షన్ ఇస్ దర్. సేమ్ థింగ్, నథింగ్ న్యూ, సేమ్ ఓల్డ్ బిజినెస్, సేమ్ ఓల్డ్ స్టోరీ అగైన్ అండ్ అగైన్. సో వన్ షుడ్ అబ్జర్వ్ హౌ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ ఇస్ డిజైన్డ్ ఇన్ సచ్ అ వే దట్ పీపుల్ లివ్ ఇన్ స్మాల్ వరల్డ్స్. సో వెన్ యూ సీ ఫ్రమ్ అ బ్రాడర్ పర్స్పెక్టివ్ యూ విల్ సీ దట్ ద సేమ్ బిజినెస్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్, ఈటింగ్, స్లీపింగ్, మేటింగ్, డిఫెండింగ్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్. దట్స్ వై హి సేస్ పునః పునః చరివిత చరువ అన. హి సేస్ ఇట్స్ లైక్ అ స్టోర్డ్ ప్లెజర్ వన్ ఎంజాయ్స్. లైక్ యు నో ఎ మ్యాన్ పాస్ అ స్టూల్ అండ్ హీ కెనాట్ టాలరేట్ ద స్మెల్, హి ప్లగ్స్ హిస్ నోస్ అండ్ రన్స్ అవే, బట్ అ పిగ్ కమ్స్ రన్నింగ్ దర్. రీడ్ దట్, ఇట్ ఇస్ స్టోర్డ్ ప్లెజర్. హీ కన్సిడర్స్ ఎంజాయ్మెంట్ ఇన్ దట్. సో as said here, the mentality, the materially molded mind and senses are the cause of attraction and attachment to a particular object. The materially molded mind and senses, they are actually the cause of one's attraction, because the same objects are there for everyone. Why somebody feels more attraction, why another person doesn't feel attraction, why? Because someone's mind and senses are materially molded, they feel attraction. And like somebody is attracted to a cigarette, for example, why another person is not attracted to cigarette? One is attracted to cigarette, one is repulsing cigarette, isn't it? Why? Because their materially molded mind and senses are different. So to the degree one continues the materially molded mind and senses, one's birth and death continues. I read a wonderful sentence. It says, difference between spiritual and material world is the mentality of service. He says, when there is no mentality of service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one's activities are material. He says, this Prabhupada says in 9.4.25, when there is no mentality of service to Supreme Lord, then one's activities are called material. That means one doesn't have impetus for serving the Lord. Have you observed this? Sometimes people say, people don't do any service. You have to push them sometimes. Do some service because they don't have any motivation. That means their consciousness is completely material. It's materialistic consciousness. Because there is no impetus on their own. For example, if something material is available, they will chase after that. Correct? So if some eatable is there, they will have the motivation to stand up and run there and pick it up and put it in the mouth. Isn't there motivation for doing their activity? Spiritual activity? No motivation. That means they are material. He's saying, very simple definition. He's saying, when there is no mentality of service to Supreme Lord, then one's activities are material. So, one verse came to my mind when I was reading this from Ambarish Maharaj, very famous verse in the conclusion. He says, Dushkarah konu sadhunam dustajova mahatmanam. Beautiful verse. This was spoken by Dhruvas. Brahman Dhruvas. He is saying, Dushkaraha ko nu sadhuna. Dushkaraha means what is difficult for a devotee to do. And dustaja va mahatmana, he says. What is difficult for a devotee to give up? He is saying, what is difficult for a devotee to do? And what is difficult for a devotee to give up? Powerful verse. If you want the verse number, it is 9.5.15. Dushkara konu sadhunam dustyajova mahatmana yai sangrihito bhagavan satvatam rishabo harihi. For those who achieve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of the pure devotees, what is impossible to do and what is impossible to give up? So Ambarish Maharaj is an example of one who is completely free from material desires, a pure devotee. It is said how Ambarish Maharaj lived. There is a verse which says, Griheshu dareshu suteshu bandushu dvipottama syandana vajivastushu అక్షయ్యరత్నాభరణ అంబరాదిషు అనేన కోశేషు అకరోత్ అసత్మతిం. సి వాట్ ఆల్ Ambarish Maharaj considered as material and temporary, and what are all the things that he gave up? It says here, what are the things that he detached himself from? He says, although he was living in the midst of them. So he says, Griheshu, the household affairs, Dareshu, the wife, Suteshu, the children, Bandushu, relatives and friends, and all these people, he was living amongst them. It's not that he was not living amongst them, he was living. At the same time, he's saying, Dvipottama means best of the strong elephants. Sandana means the chariots. And Vaji means the best of the horses. Vastushu means and similar things. All these military items, which the kings are very fond of, like the weapons and armor and everything. And Akshaya Ratna, which means actually it's a he's saying, whose the value of which never decreases. Akshaya Ratna, Ratna, most valuable jewel, the value of which never reduces. And the treasury in which he had all kinds of gold and jewels and ornaments, Ratna Abharanam, and Ambaradishu means fine garments, dresses. Like people sometimes have a lot of dresses stacked in their bureaus. If it is a particular day, special day, they will wear a special type of dress. And also in correspondence to, in connection to that particular dress, they have to wear a similar type of chappal also. Same color chappal, same color, you know, what do you call this? Bindi also. Same color, everything, all one color. And they have so much. In fact, the dressing room is a big room for some people. Everything. Pen also, same color pen they will take. Everything. So we have attraction for matching. Matching all these things and very attentively decorating our body. Ambaradisha. Ambar means the dresses and garments and everything. So Ambarish Maharaj, Anena Koshesha means inexhaustible treasury he had. Inexhaustible treasury. And he gave up all these things. He says, Akarot Asatmatyam. He considered them all temporary and perishable. And he gave up his attachment to them, although he was living in the midst of them. Now, it is not to say that Ambarish left everything and he ran away to forest. That is why one should know how to be affectionate and not be attached. And how to be detached and not be hard-hearted. That is explained in the scriptures. For example, Prabhupada says, to be affectionate and not be attached means, like as a father or as a king, he would show his love for his citizens and for his wives, his children, and relatives and friends. He never failed to show his affection to them. In whatever way he has to deal, politely, affectionately, he would do that. But what is the meaning of he was not attached? He was not attached like Dhritarashtra was attached to Duryodhana. He didn't become bound by that relationship that he failed to worship the Supreme Lord or follow his laws. He was not attached in that way. As Prabhupada says, a man has a duty to be affectionate in executing his duties to his wife and children and family members. But if a man becomes attached to sense gratification, then he forgets his prime duty of life, the spiritual goal of life. So one should learn to be affectionate but not become attached. Similarly, one should be detached and not be hard-hearted, which means even though one is detached, one does not fail to fulfill the formalities that are to be done. For example, one of the problems with detachment is, when I was a very new devotee, one day I had gone to the temple and I was wearing a very dirty dhoti, and it was also a bit torn also. So one senior devotee was asking, Prabhu, why are you wearing a dirty dhoti? Why are you wearing a torn dhoti? I said, Prabhu, after all, we are not the body. How does it matter whether you wear a costly new dhoti or wear a torn dhoti? And I was having some beard and mustache. Devotee said, Prabhuji, why don't you shave up, keep yourself clean? How does it matter? We are not concerned about bodily beauty. We are concerned about soul's beauty. So then the devotee sat and gave a lecture on how, yes, we need detachment, But we have to be clean because we are a preaching movement. Hmm? We are representing Prabhupada, we are representing ISKCON. Hmm? And we should not have Phalgu Vairagya, artificial detachment. We should not have. So, which means we take care of the details also in how we represent our movement. So, detached at the same time, one should be detached at the same time, not hard-hearted means one does not forego the formalities. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, for example, when the Vaikuntha airplane came, he saw it. It has come. It is standing there waiting for him. Immediately he did not run and catch a place there. No. He saw there were brahmanas. He bowed down to the brahmanas. He circumambulated the brahmins. He gave charity. He gave food to all the brahmins. Everything he did, all his duties. And then he boarded the plane finally. He didn't compromise on the rituals. Same with Arjuna also. When Krishna told Arjuna to hit the Brahmastra, he circumambulated Krishna and he offered him obeisances, offered prayers, and then he did. See that. So detachment doesn't mean foregoing all the details. And Ambarish Maharaj as a king, now Ambarish can say, I am a pure devotee. Why should I wear the kingly dress? Why should I wear the abharanam, the jewelry and everything, mukut and everything? I don't want to make a show. I am after all a detached devotee. I will look like a beggar, you know, beggar living in the street. He didn't put up a artificial show like that. He looked like a very opulent king externally. But internally he was detached. That is why he said, especially for grihasthas, they should be internally detached. The detachment should be internal. Externally, for the outside world, they have to sometimes pay attention to the details of their life, external details. But internally, one should be detached. So, that was Ambarish Maharaj. At the same time, while he was detached, it is said, his devotion was so great that the Lord Vishnu offered him his own disc, Sudarshan disc, for his protection. Although Ambarish Maharaj, he never asked for it, still the Lord gave him Sudarshan disc, so that he will always be protected. Because the devotee is always protected by the Lord. It is said that not only he was like that, his wife was also having an equal qualification. So it is said, Ari Radha Yeshu Krishnam Mahishya Tulya Shilaya. Tulya Shilaya means, Tulya means equal. Shilaya means qualities. She was equal in qualities to her husband, Ambarish Maharaj. Mahishya means queen. The queen was equal in qualities to Ambarish Maharaj. Ari Radha Yeshu Krishnam. So he was always eager to worship Krishna, and his wife was no less competent. She was equally competent. And that's how they both could wonderfully worship the Lord. And it is said, by worshipping the Lord in a certain way, Ambarish Maharaj completely curbed all his material desires. It is said. How he worshipped, that is very beautifully explained. That he, in the month of Kartika, in the Madhuvan forest, we all went to Vrindavan. In Madhuvan forest, he took a bath in the Yamuna in the month of Kartik, and he came to the Madhuvan forest, and he had a deity of Lord Krishna, and he offered for one entire year. He was performing the Ekadashi Dwadashi Vrat, and every time an Ekadashi would come, 3 days he would fast, 3 nights he would fast. So 3 nights he fasted, and then the Dwadashi, he would accept. But how he did the Ekadashi is beautifully explained. Before the Ekadashi would begin, he was performing it very in a very regulated way. There is a procedure given for the kings, how they would do it. After he completes the fasting 3 days, then there is a Maha Abhishekam that they would do, where the king would bring the deities and all the people would come to see. And Ambarish Maharaj, after having taken bath in Yamuna, he dressed himself and he came. And they performed Abhishek with all kinds of juices and scented waters and everything. And then they put on very beautiful fine garments for the deities, and glistening ornaments and fragrant garlands upon the body of the deity. So the deities were looking very attractive, beautiful. And after that, he personally worshipped the deities with all the puja paraphernalia. and everything. And after that, he gave charity. After the worship of the deity, he offered charity to the Brahmanas. It is said he gave 60 crores of cows. I was thinking, India's population is 130 crore now, I think. So half of India's population, that many cows he gave. Yeah. But how were these cows? You think they were all old and invalid? No. It is said all these cows were mild-natured. They were young and beautiful. And all these cows had a calf also. And their udders were full of milk. They looked very good-looking young cows. And their horn was plated with gold. And their hooves were plated with silver. And their bodies were covered with silken garments. And their bag. Each and every one of these cows were like that. Like that he gave crores of cows in charity to the Brahmanas. Hundreds and thousands of Brahmanas who had come to the assembly. He gave all of them cows. And after giving all this charity to them, then he fed the Brahmanas very sumptuously. And there is a mention there that these Brahmanas were completely free from material desires, it is said. Which means these Brahmanas never anticipated that anyone would worship them. But still Ambarish Maharaj worshipped them with great respect and love. He offered them charity. So there in one purport I read, Prabhupada writes, for our sake, for our benefit, he is writing, how one should give up material desires. That's why I took that particular purport. I'll tell you the purport number. It is 9.4.26. 9.4.26. Because we all want to give up material desires altogether before we take our last breath, so that we can, you know, quit this world and go back to Krishna. So in that purport, Prabhupada is saying, 9.4.26, I'll just take it. See, he says here, severe austerities in the practice of devotional service are of many varieties. The translation, I'll tell you. Translation says, the king of this planet, Maharaj Ambarish, thus performed devotional service to the Lord, and in this endeavor practiced severe austerity, always satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his constitutional activities. He gradually gave up all material desires. You see, have he gave up material desires? By satisfying the Supreme Lord by his constitutional activities. And what are the Prabhupada rights here? The severe austerity in the practice of devotional service are of many varieties. For example, in worshipping the deity in the temple, there are certainly laborious activities. Shri Vigrahara Adhana Nityanana Shingaram Shingar Tanmandira Marjanada. One must decorate the deity, cleanse the temple, bring water from the Ganges and Yamuna, continue the routine work, perform arati many times, prepare first-class food for the deity, prepare dresses, and so on. So all this is connected to the temple hall and the deity department. Actually, when I was reading this, I was visualizing it in my mind. You know, you clean the temple hall and then take care of the deities by. What all we do for the deities? Bring water from the Ganges, Yamuna, and also bathe the deities, dress the deities, ornament the deities, offer food to the deities by cooking varieties of foodstuffs and varieties of six times offerings a day at appropriate times, punctually, and circumambulate the deities and worship the deities, sing and dance for the deity, for the pleasure of the deities. All this is connected to deities. Then he is saying, in this way, one must constantly be engaged in various activities. And the hard labor involved is certainly an austerity, Prabhupada is saying. This is austerity. Because hard labor is involved in doing all these activities. Similarly, the hard labor involved in preaching, preparing literature, preaching to atheistic men, and distributing literature door to door is of course an austerity. Tapo yuktena. He's saying, tapo divyam putraka. First we prepare the literature, then we distribute the literature, then we preach to the atheists and Mayavadis and Sahajyas and all kinds of people. Sometimes some devotees say, Prabhuji, how do you get the enthusiasm to do something for Krishna? You know, I just don't feel any impetus to stand up and walk and do something for Krishna. When I feel dull. So that impetus is needed if one wants to go back home, back to Godhead. by reading this purport you can understand. One has to execute devotion service like this. Although it is very simple, I am still reading it. We all know it. Why I am reading it? We have to reinforce it in our mind. That's why he is saying. Similarly, the hard labor is involved in preaching, preparing literature, preaching to atheistic men, distributing literature. By such austerity in devotional service, one is purified of material existence. Such austerity leads one to the constitutional position of devotional service. In this way, one can give up material desires. See Prabhupada saying. And as soon as one is freed from material desires, he is free from the repetition of birth and death, old age and disease. Thank God we are already doing these things in a small way, but we can do them in a more attentive way. Because how did Ambarish Maharaj do? I'll tell you, the word is used here. How did he worship of a charity? It is said, tad gatantara bhavena pujayamasa keshava, it is said. Tad gata antara bhavena. What is the last verse of the sixth chapter in Bhagavad Gita? Yoginam abhisarveshan mat gate antaratmana. See the same word. Gatantara. Tad gatantara bhavena pujayamasa keshava, it says. So with a heart full of attentive devotion, Ambarish Maharaj was doing puja for Lord Keshava. Tad gatantara. Tad gatantara bhavena. He had that bhav. And worshipping the deity. He was doing puja for the deity, he had that bhava, that kind of attitude, right attitude. This way he conquered all his material desires, they said. Now this is Ambarish Maharaj. And you know, I'm not going to tell the whole pastime, it would take a long time. But you know, opposite to Ambarish Maharaj is Durvasa Muni, who appeared as an uninvited guest suddenly. And then when he took bath and he came back, when he came to know that he was drunk, so he kept his eyes, crooked eyes with twisted eyebrows, and he became very wild and angry. And he cursed the king, and the demon was created and all that. So the whole pastime takes place, how Durvasa, he went to Brahma, Shiva, and at last he went to Vishnu. Actually, when he goes to Brahma and Shiva, you can see the knowledge of Brahma and Shiva. Brahma is saying at the end of Dviparartha period, there is a annihilation of the whole universe. By the flick of the eye of Vishnu, everything is finished in this world. The whole pralaya takes place simply by flick of the eye of Vishnu. Who are we? We are all tiny demigods. He's telling about himself. And Shiva is saying that myself, Daksha, and even Bhrigu, and Brahma, and all great sages and saints, we are all rotating in this world. Many times we become forgetful and we think that I am the controller of this world. We think like that. But then we realize we are not the controller when the pralaya comes. Everything is finished. So we can't help you. So they all say no to him. So it actually these speeches of the great personalities like Brahma and Shiva gives us an understanding of how a living entity is very tiny. And his material desires are useless. Because even with his material desires, he may wander here and there, but he can never become happy because he is not the ultimate controller. Even Shiva or Brahma is not the controller. And at last, he goes to Vishnu. Vishnu says, even I have no control, he says. You know why? Because I am bound in the heart of my devotee. Mayi nirbaddha hridaya sarvatra samadarshanada darshanaha. Sadhubir grastha hridayo bhaktair bhakta janapriyaha. There are three verses, very beautiful verses there. In one of the verses he says, I am bound in the heart of my devotee. And I have no freedom. O Brahmana. If you really want forgiveness, you go to him only. He says. So I am going to read two or three verses. Towards the end, what Durvasa Muni speaks about the devotee's glory. How a devotee is free from material disease. This is all coming after the Durvasa, after Ambarish Maharaj pacifies the chakra. See what Durvasa Muni is saying. Durvasa Muni, the greatly powerful mystic, was indeed satisfied when freed from the fire of Sarshan chakra. Thus he praised the qualities of Maharaj Ambarish and offered him the highest benedictions. You know what he said? Durvasa is coming here. Durvasa uvacha. Aho anantadasanam. Mahatvam drishtamadhyame. Kritagasopi yad rajan. Mangalani samihase. Kritagasopi means although I am an offender. Huh? He says, although I am an offender, the king, Mangalani Samihase, he always prayed for my good fortune. He is saying, Aho Anantadasanam. Anantadasanam means of the servant. He is saying, my dear king, today I have experienced the greatness of devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For although I have committed an offense, you have prayed for my good fortune. Aho Anantadasana Mahatvam Drishtamadhyame. Drishta means to see. I am seeing the greatness of the Lord's devotees. And then he is saying that famous verse. Dushkarah konu sadhunam Dustyajo va mahatmanam Yaihi sangrihito bhagavan Sattvatam Rishabho Harihi. For those who have achieved the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of the pure devotees, what is impossible to do and what is impossible to give up? Such a beautiful verse, huh? Dushkara kona sadho naam dustyaja va mahatmana. Then he's saying. Which means he's saying, Ambarish Maharaj is such a great soul. He has done such a great thing, he is saying. What is the great thing he did? Sending the Sudarshan Chakra, which is Lord's Chakra, which was actually chasing Durvasa Muni all through, and at last it came. And because of the Lord wanting to protect Ambarish, the Chakra chased him, chased Durvas. And then by the prayer of Ambarish, the Chakra stopped chasing him. That is the power of a devotee. He could even stop the most mighty Sudarshan Chakra, which is the glance of Vishnu. He could stop it from attacking Dhruvas. He's saying. And then what is impossible to give up? Which means, he is saying that although he's a great king, he has already given up all these attachments to all the three things I told you. The wives, children, family and all that, and treasury and elephants, horses, everything they can give up. Which means whether they live amidst them or they live in the forest for a devotee, it makes no difference because they have no attachment to them. He's saying. And then he's saying, very beautiful verse. Yannama Shruti Matrena Puman Bhavati Nirmalaha Tasya Tirtha Padah Kimva Dasanam Avashishyate. What is impossible for the servants of the Lord? By the very hearing of His holy name, one is purified. So he is saying, Yan nama shruti matrena. Puman bhavati nirmalaha. Puman means manushya. Yan nama shruti matrena. Sirf sunne se. Only by hearing. Puman bhavati nirmalaha. One becomes completely purified. And then he is saying, Tasya tirthapada. Tirthapada is actually the Lord at whose feet are the holy places. Tasya tirthapada kimva. Dasanam avashishyate. For the dasanam is the devotees. For them avashishyate. What remains to be done? They can do anything, he's saying. Nothing is impossible for them. Like this he glorified. And then it says, he's telling, O king, overlooking my offenses, you have saved my life. Thus I am very much obliged to you because you are so merciful. Expecting the return of Durvasa Muni, the king had not taken his food. Therefore, when sage returned, the king fell at his lotus feet, pleasing him in all respects and fed him sumptuously. And then thus the king respectfully received Durvasa Muni with great affection and everything. And then he requested the king to eat also, saying, please take your meal. He told them. Here comes a very important translation here. Durvasa Muni said, I am pleased with you, my dear king. At first, I thought of you as an ordinary human being and accepted your hospitality. But later I could understand by my own intelligence that you are the most exalted devotee of the Lord. Therefore, simply by seeing you, touching your feet, and talking with you, I have been pleased and have become obliged to you. He's saying. And then he's saying, all the blessed women in the heavenly planets will continuously chant about your spotless character at every moment. And the people of this world will also chant your glories continuously. He's saying. Actually, it's a very great benediction. All the blessed women all over the world will glorify you. For Durvasamani, it's a great benediction. For Ambarish, it is immaterial. For Ambarish Maharaj. Because somebody who thinks I am a Purusha, if woman glorify, it looks very nice. But Ambarish Maharaj considered himself simply a servant of Krishna. But still, Durvasamani anyway gave all this benediction. All the blessed women in heavenly planets will continuously chant your spotless character. People of this world will chant your glories also and all that. Thus being satisfied in all respects, great mystic yogi Dhruvasa took permission and left, continuously glorifying the king. Through the skyways, he went to Brahmaloka. See, Dhruvasa Muni had left the place of Maharaj Ambarish, and as long as he had not returned, for one complete year, the king had fasted, maintaining himself simply by drinking water. One full year. So in this way, very beautiful chapter it is. So, I took this particular section because we are talking about yogi with material diseases. So we made a comparison of a yogi and a bhakta, yogi and a devotee. Your devotee is completely free from all material diseases. Whereas yogi has so many powers, but even with such mystic powers, he was defeated. Who? Durvasa Muni. Like today we were reading the purport about the 8 types of mystic powers. Durvasa had all these things. Even with all these mystic powers, he was defeated. And Ambarish Maharaj appears externally like a simple devotee. But because he was a pure devotee, devoid of material desires, he was more powerful. So the conclusion is, as he says here, that one has to give up material desires as Prabhupada wants here. Towards the end. With a materialistic mind, one can reach the best planet in the universe, but no one can enter into the kingdom of God. Senses are called spiritually purified when they are not involved in sense gratification. Senses require engagement, and when senses are engaged totally in transcendent loving service of the Lord. Now there is a problem in this. What is it? Now we all have heard the solution, we are aware of the solution, only application appears difficult. Now everyone knows how many classes we have heard. Transcendental loving devotional service of the Lord, we have to engage in that, and the mind will become purified. Prabhupada says it in so many purports. And also, we know that our mind should not be materially motivated. We are aware of it also. Like I told you, I met a rich man. I used to go occasionally to meet him. I had given him mala. In front of me, he chanted some half a round or something. So months later I went, 6 months later I asked him, so sir, are you chanting Hare Krishna? He said, no. Then I said, why? Maybe you are a busy man, you have so much responsibilities in life. He said, no, I am not very busy, I am the owner of the company. So many other people are doing my activities. I said, maybe you don't have time. No, I have ample of time. He said, really? You have time? Nobody in this world says they have time. If you have time, then why don't you chant? He said, lagan nahi hai. He said, I don't have, what do you call it? Taste, yeah. I don't have interest. That is the greatest curse. So we have to keep reading, we have to keep hearing. And also the taste gets awakened when we, two things. One is when we take up this laborious activities, which Prabhupada says in that purport. For eradicating material diseases. Take up these laborious activities, whether you like it or not, do them with great interest and enthusiasm. Right now we have this marathon now. For this book marathon, either you have to go and meet people and get some funds for subsidizing the Bhagavad Gita's, which is very difficult for your ego to do. Why? Imagine if I tell one of you to go to MG Road, go shop to shop and beg for some money. It's very painful to mine. Why to go and beg someone for some money? It hurts our ego. But if we take up that service, then we can purify our ego and advance. So one is to do the activities. Another one is associating. Associating with Mahat or great souls. The purpose of visiting with the spiritual master and spiritual masters in our society is actually to see their enthusiasm and ecstasy and engagement in devotional service. And by serving them, then we will also get awakened. So, one has to, time to time, introspect and observe one's mind and one's behavior and activities. How much are they materially molded? How much are they spiritually molded? We have to observe. So, if they are materially molded, then one has to intensify the devotion service even more. If they are spiritually molded, one can be grateful to one's spiritual master and the acharyas and the devotees for allowing us to be in the association which is actually spiritually molding us and keeping us ecstatic and blissful. But the material world is so dangerous place that at the least expected moment the material disease can creep in into our heart and gradually knock off a person. Warnings are given in the scriptures. But studying about the character of personalities like Ambarish Maharaj can greatly inspire us. Repeatedly reading them, memorizing these verses and reciting them, it will actually create a desire in our heart that I also want to worship the Lord like Ambarisha. Gatantara, what he says? Gatantara bhavena pujayamasa keshava. Worshipping the Lord with attention and devotion. He didn't just do any half-hearted activities. He did it all with very meticulously, with great devotion. So then we will also be inspired to perform all activities with great devotion. And this, look at these yogis. They have so much powers, but because of the material desires, they become weaklings. With one example, I'll conclude. In the 11th canto, I think this is spoken by the Chatush Kumaras, I think. There is an example of how it is said a yogi has tremendous power. Has tremendous power, all these mystic siddhis and all he has. But he becomes, you know, in a small puddle of water as if it's contained in a hoof print of a calf. A yogi gets drowned in that. And what is that? He says, his anger and false pride. In that he gets drowned in that, he says. So Durvasa Muni actually got drowned in his own false pride while dealing with Ambarisha, Ambarish Maharaj. At last he was saved, his life was spared by Ambarish Maharaj. So in India, generally people have more respect for yogis than bhaktas. They think bhaktas are sentimentalists. No. What is this, you know, chanting, taking a mala, jumping and dancing, you know, they're just sentimentalists, they think. And yogis, yogi Baba, great. Like when what Baba is? Ramdev Baba. And many people see it with great respect. My Lord, he's showing some miracle. How he is breathing in and breathing out, as if the intestine will come out. People are very, and there are many yogis nowadays, they do a lot of gymnastics and all. Twisting the body in different ways. They make body like a football. Yeah, and people say, what yogi, what great. There are yogis standing on water and flying in the sky and all that. People are very impressed by that. But Bhagavatam smashes such a misconception. It says, yogi may be very great in mystic powers, but what is the quality of his consciousness? He has material desires to make a show of his greatness. And he wants to go to Siddhalok, he wants to go to other planets. You know, he doesn't want to serve the Lord without any material desires. That's why eradicating material desires in our heart and having only one desire to become aho anantadasanam, as he says, to become anantadas, that is the greatest qualification. There is nothing beyond that, to be a pure devotee. So one's aspiration in life should always be to become a pure devotee, not to become powerful. Sometimes devotees think, you know, Prabhuji, what is to be done to become a powerful devotee? What is the powerful devotee? According to them, powerful devotee means you have to be charismatic. You know, you should have many followers. People should praise you and you should do things. You know, people should say, wow, wow, what a devotee. You know, what mridangam he beats and what kartal he beats and what singing he does and what preaching he does. He's a hero. So when one gets a desire to become a hero, then he becomes like Durvasa Muni only. Mystic yogi. He becomes like that only. So that's why somebody was saying,
Don't try to become a great devotee. Try to become a... Yeah, everyone knows. We know it. We have to apply it now. Try to become a good devotee, not a great devotee. Gantra Chimad Bhagavatam ki? Srila Prabhupada ki? Thank you very much.